Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, what have you been up to this past week?
Well, I guess a lot. I don't know. It feels like everything's happening at once, but I just got back from seeing one of my favorite bands, Simple Plan. This will be the sixth time I've seen them live. Technically, my friends are like, it's 6.5. Because I did see them at D23. I think you were there too, right? You saw Simple Plan.
I was there.
Yeah. Were we next to each other? You came a little later.
Yeah, we were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I yelled out during that because, like, they made that joke about... Because remember, like, there was all people... Like, the people who were really into it were millennials, and so we were all, like, in our 30s and 40s or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are kids who are, like, maybe early 20s, mid-20s, and younger, who are just kind of like, why are all these people happy about it? And then, like, the lead singer, I forget his name, but the lead singer yelled out, like... how many of you listened to us when you were in high school? And you got all the people who were like, woo, woo. And then I yelled, how many of your knees hurt this morning?
Man, yeah. Man, that was so cool. I wish they played. It wasn't a full set. I think it was like two songs.
No, it was like six.
Was it six? It didn't feel that long.
It was quite a few songs. They went through like Welcome to My Life. They did I forget what song they did a cover of. That was a Disney song. And that's when they had like the animated Mickey Mouse. They did Perfect. They did Addicted.
Addicted? I feel like Addicted is like not Disney.
I'm pretty confident they did because I remember they did like all their popular songs.
I thought it was only like two to three songs.
Yeah, they did.
Perfect.
Yeah, because like, the songs are three, 4 minutes long.
Oh, they sang Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah.
Because that was from because I remember the like pop punk Disney album just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on that.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder, I doubt that it would be like on the internet. Like the Simple Plan D23 pop up playlist. But I guess. It wouldn't be considered a full concert, you know? So, I don't know. What would you put it at a 0.5 or would you put it at like a full number? Because if it's full
I'd
number, then
it's a...
seven times for me. But if it's not, a 6.5.
I'd consider it like a full number. Like, even though it was a smaller concert, it still technically was a concert. So.
How many songs make a concert, do you think? Like, if you like Green Day played at Comic-Con, like a little small, like, pop-up thing and they only did like three songs that's a 0.5
okay
for you?
So that's like a mini concert. Like I think you have to do at least, if you cross the seven song threshold, then it's a full concert.
Okay,
it could be counted as a concert if you cross that.
Yeah, so okay, maybe seven. I guess six that I paid to see them, and then seven I was just like, because it was at the place. I love Simple Plan. Anytime they're in town or I'm near them, I'm like, I gotta go. So I went. It was my first lawn concert. I've never been to a lawn concert before. So my friend was like, you gotta bring a towel and we're gonna sit on the grass and it's gonna be chill. And it was not chill, but like we did get to sit on the grass. It was a fun experience. I've decided that all outdoor venues in Texas should be demolished. Texas is not good for outdoor concerts. We have... what, 2 to 3 days out of the year where it's like nice to have a concert outside, and the rest were like people were melting. So no more outdoor venues. But yeah, Simple Plan was awesome. I want to see them again. I think I was talking to you a little bit before we started recording. I'm debating to go to Canada. The only unfortunate thing is I do not have a passport. So I don't know if I will be able to get one in time. The concert is in December. So it would be really risky, don't you think, to like book everything for a concert and my passport not get here in time?
Yeah. I mean.
Because I would need to do like hotel and all that stuff.
Is it early or late December?
It's December 19th.
Well, usually you can cancel a hotel.
Yeah,
though,
I guess, and a flight too, but.
Gotcha.
It just feels like. I just feel like. I don't know. If anyone can give me a passport quicker. That's legal. Let me know.
I mean, if you're willing to pay an extra $60, you can do the expedited service.
I probably will. I'll probably like look into it tonight and Because it's, I don't know, is this a spoiler? It's the weekend for us. While we're recording, it's the weekend. So there's nothing I can do about it today and tomorrow. But yeah. I can get everything ready, and then Monday I can just, like, do it. So, yeah, so that's what I'm debating. And then next week I got BTS. I'm finally seeing BTS live. I've never seen them together, so that's a trip to Arlington. I guess I didn't tell, did I tell you? I'm starting a new, like, I'm moving to a new work location, too. So I'm moving to a new location for my job. And that starts next week, too. There's just so much change happening in my life right now. I'm just like, it's insane. But I think once everything settles, I'll be fine. But yeah, concert season's definitely up and going for me. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to, long story short. What about you? Anything cool this week?
So largely this week has been pretty run of the mill in terms of like my appointments and work and stuff, you know, just regular doctor's appointments and work appointments and board meetings and stuff like that. And so nothing like out of the ordinary in that arena. Let me see. So I did, like, this has nothing to do with anything, I guess, but so I'm very involved in like the larger tech community here in San Francisco, larger tech community in general. I'm very big fan of open source software. I know I've like, I don't think I've ever really talked about this on the podcast before. And so I just joined the CNCF Ambassador Program, or I guess not so much joined as got accepted. So I'm like super happy about that. So that was like a high point of the week. That aside, it's been pretty run-of-the-mill. My girlfriend and I just got into a new show on Netflix. Nobody spoil it for us because we're still going through it, called, is it The Night Agent or something like that?
The Night Agent.
Pretty good. It's like a spy thriller action movie kind of thing about an FBI agent, or like a very low-level FBI agent who finds himself in this bigger problem.
That sounds familiar, but I just Googled it. I don't know the actor. I thought it was going to be that Alec Richman or something like that, but I don't recognize who this is. I might have to check it out. Is it any good? Well, you guys are enjoying it, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. And it's action-filled. Like, you know, Netflix stuff, I think Netflix stuff has gotten better, broadly speaking. Like, this is my personal opinion. You know, you could say whatever you want. I feel like there was a point in time where like Netflix was pretty much just greenlighting everything so that they can get content on their platform, and so it became very hit or miss what was good on it. And you know, they'd get one season and then cancel it immediately. And so like now I feel like they're moving, not entirely, like there's still some things, I don't even know if I'd call them misses. Like, I want to say there are things that are misses, but maybe it's more just like I'm not the target audience for it. But yeah, I feel like now the content has gotten a little better because now maybe they're like, okay, we've gotten past like the slop phase. Let us start trying to make like quality again.
I feel like every Netflix show should be greenlit for 2 seasons. You know, like I think just give a show two seasons worth of a chance, because sometimes the show, you could see it's like, oh man, I could see where this is going. And then it's like, we're not doing anything with this. Or my other option to Netflix, because I know you're listening, is if you're not going to greenlight a season 2, greenlit like an hour, like an hour and a half long special, like a movie to wrap up that show, which is give it a good, like, goodbye. You know, I kind of want something.
Yeah. Well, they do. So there's I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do it. And I don't know why they would stop. But Netflix actually creates like multiple thumbnails of a show, like a ton of them. And based on your profile, like Netflix has a profile in every single viewer, you know, using AI and whatnot to figure out what you would like, what you wouldn't like, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how popular or how accurate it is, because I'll often get stuff that there's no way I would like it. Like, in what universe would I want to watch this show? But there are definitely stuff like, so for the back to the thumbnails, they will actually display a thumbnail of a show based on what they think you would like. So you'll see a show like, say, Night Agent, for example. And based on your personality, what they've assessed your personality to be, they'll show you a thumbnail that matches that or that they think would appeal to you. And then they'll show a different person a thumbnail that they think would appeal to them.
Oh, that very true, because even when I watch, like, for my shows, my comfort shows, like, I have some comfort animes that I really love to watch. And I've noticed that the little, like, the cover pictures will change, have changed for me. And I wonder if that's, like, depending on my viewing habits. Because I do share my Netflix with my family. So it's getting watched by a whole bunch of different people and, like, a whole bunch of different things being watched. So I wonder if that is the case.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, it's, yeah. And I'm sure Hulu and other ones do something similar. It's just been well documented that Netflix does that. I'm sure the other streaming services do something similar. But, like, for King of the Hill, for example, which we'll talk about shortly, I'm pretty sure it shows, like, one of maybe four thumbnails for the show or whatever.
For King of the Hill? Wait, what do you have now? Mine is where they're, like, in a pool. Do you know what you have?
Yep, that's okay. Mine as well.
I feel like we have very similar viewing habits. I wonder if everyone else.
Yeah.
I wonder if people get some weird ones.
That was the official promotional image that came out. So I imagine that's just the image.
Oh, you're saying Disney doesn't change theirs?
I'm thinking not.
Okay. Because I was like, man, I wonder what other people. I wonder if that's just AI for Netflix. Do you think it is?
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this well before generative AI was a thing. They've been doing this for years.
Because that'd be interesting if it was like looked at your algorithm, like what you're watching, and then compiled some kind of image that it was like, this image will attract this viewer.
I mean, they might use AI now, but back in the day, they've been doing this for a long time. They just make multiple thumbnails for certain shows. I mean, I don't think it's scalable for them to do it for their entire content library, but I think like specific shows that they want to market better, they do that.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Well, you want to go talking about King of the Hill now?
Let's do it.
All right. So this episode is episode 3 of season 15, and it is called Searching for Bobby Fischer. Fischer spelled with a PH. So it is very similar to a movie by the same title, Searching for Bobby Fischer, but with an F. This is the second episode of King of the Hill with a fish in the title with the PH. The other one being Fish and Wildlife, like the one where like they go camping and fishing and all of a sudden like all the hippies are there. So it was more of a reference to the band more so than fishing. But this one's about catfishing or fishing and scams and stuff like that. So the episode starts at Robot Chain, as a lot of the episodes do. We are seeing Ola, the girl that we saw from the season before, Connie's roommate that Connie tried to connect Bobby with. But, you know, she's still Connie's roommate. Everybody's friendly and whatnot. They're talking about, I guess, Harmonia, which I feel like maybe is supposed to be like the in-universe version of Euphoria, but maybe not. And they talk about how there's too many dongs on TV and get into a conversation about that, which, you know, okay. It also is kind of showing that now they're on streaming, because that's probably not something that would have been talked about when they were on Fox. Or maybe it would have, because Fox has always been known for being a bit more lenient with some of that language. And then Connie makes a comment of like, these shows are unrealistic. Like, we either have sex or we don't. You don't talk about it. And then, of course, Joseph busts in. And he's like, hey, who wants to go to Mexico with me and help me get laid? Joseph apparently got a great deal on a hotel in Mexico, and he wants to go down there. And he's asking Ola if she wants to go. Yeah, she's like, oh, that's sweet, but that's a little much for a first date, don't you think? And Joseph asks Bobby to go, but Bobby's like, oh, you know, I'm super busy and I'm supposed to spend time with Connie. And Connie's like, oh no, I'm just working on robotics all weekend, just, you know, doing homework. You can go and have fun. And it's like, no, I'd like to watch you solder and stuff. It's like, no, Bobby, go enjoy yourself. You're gonna have a vacation. Bobby goes back home to look for his passport, and Bobby pulls out like his passport from the box, and he has blue hair that is like shaved on one side, because apparently Bobby at that point in time was a huge BTS fan, so kind of the crossover there into Jimmy's world a little bit, and the real world as well, because apparently BTS exists in the King of the Hill universe. And then Hank's like, oh, I've got all my stuff in the lockbox, Bobby, you should get one too. And then he asks Bobby about Mexican car insurance. And Bobby's like, no, I got car insurance. I'm under yours. And he's like, well, no, you need specific Mexican car insurance. And Hank has to call to get it set up. But he's kind of frustrated at Bobby, because he wishes Bobby would be more responsible and not have Hank have to take care of him. Then we get Feel So Good as the Hold music. So, you know, good callback to Chuck Mangione, rest in peace. Bobby's going on vacation. Hank is frustrated with Bobby being unprepared, which is going to pretty much be the main conflict of the story as we continue forward. I don't know. I just found it funny. I've never seen Euphoria, so I'm purely going based on the name Harmonia to assume that they are somehow like related to the in-universe version, but who knows? But I just found that whole conversation funny. And then how Joseph just walks in like, anybody want to help me get laid today?
I have not seen Euphoria either. It's not really on my radar, though I hear great things about it. I know some coworkers who really love it. I feel like that back in the day, like when I was a freshman in college, I didn't think hooking up was that intense of a thing, you know? And like Connie's right. You either do it or you don't do it. It's not a, but maybe today has changed. Maybe it is a more, what is it called? Harmonia, the show? Yeah. Maybe it is more like that. I love when Joseph asks her roommate if she wants to go, and then she's like, no, thank you. And then Bobby's like, I guess we're going to Mexico after Connie tells him to go. But then he whispers to her roommate, like, but you still want to go. I'll turn around, even if we're about to leave. So I thought that was funny. Man, speaking of passports, Bobby's passport, that's, I want to see that K-pop phase that he went through. And he was like, the dance moves. We know Bobby has the dance move. I mean, if DDR translates into real life, right? Remember Bobby had that DDR thing? Yeah. So I was like, he's got the moves. He's got the K-pop moves in him. We need to see that. Hulu, Disney Fox, give us a flashback, please. But I'm not going to disclose where I keep all my documents and whatnot, but I'm definitely not like Hank. I should be where he keeps all his stuff in a lockbox. That's something that I need to do. So maybe I've learned something from this episode.
I do have a lockbox like for certain things, but I also just like I have digital everything. Like I try to get digital receipts, digital whatever, because I just don't want to have boxes and boxes of paper everywhere. Like I get e-bills and all that stuff because it's just like I like to have everything as a record because there are plenty of times where I've been like, oh, when did I buy this or whatever? And I'll go refer to a receipt or something because I need to figure out warranty or whatever. So it's nice to have it. I don't have a ton of space in San Francisco. So, you know, it's like, I don't just want to have like filing cabinets of stuff everywhere. So
I like digital everything, but sometimes I'm like, I need the paper stuff. I mean, I guess maybe I'm on the lookout for a lockbox. But my stuff is very secure. So if anyone's trying to get my stuff, you cannot. It's very secure, just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things as of right now you can't have a digital version of, such as a passport or social security card or birth certificate. Though I don't know. Maybe nowadays you can have birth certificate. I know that digital driver's licenses are becoming more and more common, like both Apple Wallet and Google Wallet or whatever they both support in a lot of the states, and even TSA, like if you're in the airport, will recognize a digital ID. So it's not completely unheard of, and maybe we'll start having digital versions of passports and whatnot. But for those things that you can't really have a digital version of, I keep those locked away. I guess you technically could have a digital version of one by just like taking a picture of it. But whether or not anybody will actually accept that is its own question.
Well, I know sometimes bars will accept a digital picture of your driver's license.
Yeah.
So I know people will just do that. But like, isn't that like so easy to fake? Like just a picture of a driver's license?
Yeah, it'd be very easy to do.
But yeah. But Bobby was able to find his, thankfully.
Yeah. They get to Mexico and they're at the hotel and they are told that they don't have a reservation. And then Bobby gets mad at Joseph because Joseph was the one who said he booked it. And so he's like, Joseph, did you forget to book it? He's like, no, I didn't. And then he looks at his phone. He's like, oh, I forgot to hit confirm. I mean, I think it's just funny that Paige has been there for like presumably days and it hasn't been confirmed, but whatever. It works for the sense of the show. So apparently there's no other hotel rooms, or maybe there's no other hotel rooms. That's kind of what the person at the front desk is saying, because Nurse Con's in town and there's going to be a twerking contest because apparently there's not a lot of actual conference stuff going. And that just makes Joseph even more like excited to be around there. And Joseph finds some random woman who invites them back to their place, like, oh, just get in the van and we'll take you there. And of course, Joseph being Joseph and kind of, you know, his whole thing is that he's not that bright. He kind of falls for it. And then Bobby's like, no, I don't want to do that because, you know, Bobby is smart and you don't get into a strange person's van just because they invite you over, like, ever. Doesn't matter what country you're in, but I especially wouldn't do that in Mexico. Then they promise that they'll make a, I think, what's it called? Tuétano, which were, if I'm butchering it, I am so sorry, people, but bone marrow. And so that like sells out Bobby, and Bobby's like, but I'm not going to get out of the van until I see it. Cuts back over to the hills, and Peggy is eating at a mom. He's like, oh, you know, these are soybeans. I don't know what they're called in English. So it's kind of funny there. So all of a sudden they get a phone call, and it is like a Mexican prison claiming that Bobby was in a car accident and he owes $500 to get out. So they put Bobby on the phone. For, you know, what it's worth, it sounds like Bobby. But yeah, there was just something off about it. Like, even when I listened to it the second time around, it definitely sounded a bit robotic in terms of the cadence, but the voice did sound like Bobby's voice. And so they think that it is Bobby. So they go ahead and send the money over. And then, of course, as soon as they get the money, the scammers hang up. And then Peggy thinks, oh, well, if Bobby's in trouble, Joseph's in trouble. Let's go check with Nancy and see what's up. So they go to the Gribble's house, and Nancy's on her iPad. And it's like, have you heard from Joseph? It's like, yeah, I'm talking to him right now. And so she's actually FaceTiming with Joseph. And then she's like, oh, well, where's Bobby? It's like, Bobby's right here. And then Bobby's in the pool eating bone marrow. It's like, I thought you were in a car accident. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then, you know, Nancy kind of puts two and two together. It's like, oh, Shook, you've been scammed. A similar thing actually happened to my grandparents, I want to say like 6 years ago or something, where my grandparents called me and they're like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, why? Oh, we just got a call that you were in a car accident and you needed money or something. I was like, no, I assure you, I am just sitting here on the couch, fine as can be.
Oh, wow. With your voice and all that? Or was it like a text?
It wasn't a text. It was an actual phone call. But before AI and whatnot, what they would do is they would try to say things like, oh, the accident has, you know, screwed up my voice, so I'm hoarse or something like that.
I don't know. I'm never too worried about that with my parents. I already know they're going to be like, you got to figure it out on your own or something like that. They're like, well, you got yourself into this. You'll figure it out. So yeah. I don't think we'll ever get scammed. I'm not surprised that Hank fell for it. I mean, they did. I kind of wish. Well, no, because it's AI. So it's of course they use the same voice actor for scam Bobby, which I'll call that. I love at the end. It was like, I love you. And then Hank can't even say I love you back. Peggy's like, we love you too. This brought up a really point. Watching this little scene brought up something in my mind. It was like, so Hank thinks Peggy's Spanish is like fluent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've had instances where I feel like her Spanish, well, always, her Spanish is very off. But as soon as like he was on the phone, he's like, my wife speaks Spanish. So.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think actually now, I think Hank knows that her Spanish is bad. Like, you remember Lupe's Revenge?
Yes.
Where he's like, oh, yeah, like that whole episode was just Hank thinking that her Spanish was bad.
Yeah, but in this instance, he was like, which I would assume is very important, like, if you think Bobby's in jail, right? Like, shouldn't you just be like, is there anyone that speaks English there? He was like, no, wait, my wife speaks Spanish. And honestly, if we would have just listened to Peggy, we wouldn't be in this situation. She wanted to hang out.
So I'm thinking it might be one of those in the moment things where maybe Hank was just frazzled and was like, oh, we need to get a Spanish speaker. Peggy, go on and speak or whatever. Like maybe just the fact that it was, let's call it a high pressure situation, he reacted that way.
This just made me think like we need Enrique to come back. I kind of miss Enrique. I would love to see Enrique come back. Also, bone marrow is delicious, everyone. I mean, I understand how Bobby can't resist bone marrow. It's great. And they were feeding him a lot of it. Bone marrow is plentiful, but like you got to have the bones and like you don't get a lot of marrow from each bone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it looked like he was going through a lot. That must have been a really nice bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like bone marrow, if you get it served, it's like you get the bone and it's like 70-80% bone. 20-30% marrow. So it's you're not getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, so it was cool. Just seeing him on a floaty eating bone marrow, that's living the life. Joseph's thing is my fear in life. Think you book something and then you haven't booked it. It will never happen to me because I am paranoid of that. So I'm constantly checking my email for confirmations. Sometimes I even call hotels to like double confirm. A big fear of mine in life is just I'm always looking at different prices for hotel rooms or whatever my travel is going to be. So I'm clicking on different dates all the time. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, I've settled on the date and this is when I want to like check in, check out, whatever. Some fears of mine is like the date got shifted. Well, I'm like, as soon as I check out, and then like, it's happened to me once where I was looking for a hotel room. It was back when I used Hotwire and they had this thing called Hot Rates. And basically it's like you buy a mystery hotel. You book a hotel and it tells you like, it's in this star range and you book it. Oh my gosh. Did you go to, you went to Fan Expo with us, like Vince and I, right? In Dallas.
Yep.
I booked the hotel. That was this was this time when I booked the hotel because it was a nicer hotel. So I booked it and then the date was wrong. It was for a week after. And the thing's policy was like, once you book it because it's like, we don't know what hotel you're going to get. And then I called them. I was like, oh my gosh, please. I misbooked. Can we shift the date? And then they were really nice and they shifted it for me. But I am paranoid about that. So I can't understand how Joseph just is like, oh, didn't hit confirm. I mean, he's Dale's. He's a Gribble. So I guess we can't do much, but still.
Yeah. Like I would have expected to get an email. Like that would have been my thing is if I got a, if I book something, whether it be a flight, a hotel, a rental car, I mean, if I book anything, I assume I'm going to get an email that confirms it. So if I didn't get an email, I'm going to go and double check and say, oh, did I book it? I'm trying to think of when I was young, you know, like that when I was 21, 22. Even then, I don't think I was that irresponsible. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. Like, I mean, yes, this is an animated cartoon and, you know, we bend reality for it for a while. But like, there's other things, right? Like if I'm Bobby, like I asked Joseph, how much do I owe you for the hotel? Or like, what is this like? What is the check-in? When is the check-out? Like all these kind of small things that would probably lead you to look back at your receipt or your confirmation to like gather the info. Unless Joseph was last minute trip, we're just going. And also, okay, last point on this little segment. Bobby, so you think Bobby is like, I never imagined Bobby being like wet t-shirt contest guy. But he seemed very disappointed that he couldn't judge the wet t-shirt contest. A young adult. Yes, I get that. But I don't know.
Yeah, like up to this point, I would agree. Like he has never shown himself to be that kind of person. But at the same time, he is a young 20-something guy. So I wouldn't, it's not that out of character or that out of left field.
No, but like for Joseph, yes, right? His like whole demeanor feels like he's that kind of, not that it's anything wrong with that, guys. If you love a wet t-shirt contest, more power to you. It just felt like a little out of character for Bobby to be like, oh man, we're missing out on that. But yeah, so I feel bad for the Hills. Missing t-shirt contests and being scammed.
Yep. So naturally, the Hills go to the police to solve this and they get this resolved. And, you know, the police mentioned that there was a data breach at the insurance company. And so that's how they got all the details necessary to scam them. And the police say there's not much that they can do realistically, like just to, you know, break out of this a little bit. There really isn't much the cops can do because almost all of these scams are done overseas in Nigeria and India and the Philippines and China, et cetera, et cetera. They are all done overseas where your local police has absolutely no jurisdiction. And they are usually pretty decent at covering their tracks. That's why a lot of times they ask for gift cards and whatnot, because once they redeem the gift card, like there's no way to figure out where that money went. It's not like you wrote them a check and you can track the bank account or whatever. You know, it's impossible. It's almost impossible, I should say. There have been people who've recovered, but generally speaking, once the money is gone, it's gone.
Oh my gosh. Wait, now you're saying this. Did you make a prediction on the podcast about this and then with like Kit Boga
I think I did, where I was soaking, and I kind of got disappointed that there wasn't like a in-universe Kit Boga that Bobby made Hank watch to learn about how to protect himself from scams or something.
I wasn't even thinking about this when I was watching the episode, and then you saying that in your voice and hearing you say, I was like, oh, you know, it'd been great. Because Kit Boga, sometimes he doesn't get money back, but he does like take down the scammers for people. It would be funny to get like, I think Kit Boga is big enough. Don't you think he's on the radar of like, I feel like people who write King of the Hill or like in that universe or like Fox Animation must know of Kit Boga. He's like out there. That would have been such a great.
Yeah. Man.
Also, I feel like you called it. You called this episode. So.
Yeah. There are a lot of scam baiters on YouTube, like Scammer Payback and whatnot. I would argue that Kit Boga is like the most famous scam baiter on YouTube. So he definitely would have probably been celebrity enough for them to get.
He's visually enough. Like, you don't even have to be like, it's Kit Boga. You just have like the sunglasses, you know? He would have done the show too. Like, he would have done an episode. Yeah. And we know he's got good audio, so we could just record it from home, everyone.
Yeah, I was disappointed that they didn't have an in-universe version of them. But yeah, so the police offer a course that they could take because there's nothing they could do to recover the $500, but maybe they can learn how to avoid being scammed in the future. So Hank goes back to the alley and he's hanging out with the guys. And apparently Bill kind of admits that he falls for a bunch of scams because he's like done 5 mail order bride scams. And he's fallen for a lot of catfishing and makes a comment about how much money he's sent to the Philippines over the years. And he talks about how the Nigerian prince he talks to has warned him about gift card scams or whatever. So it just sounds like something Bill would do, like get scared. We cut back to Mexico and they're driving back and Bobby is badly sunburned and it's because Joseph gave him expired sunscreen, which I'll admit right now, I didn't realize that sunscreen got bad like that. Like I always assumed the expiration date just meant like it's not going to be peak performance, but it will still work. Whereas the show seems to indicate that it just stops working when it expires. Or maybe it's just like the level it expired. Like it expired 3 years ago, then it's completely useless.
I mean, Joseph does seem like he would have a 3-year-old sunscreen in his like pack of things. Yeah. It's funny. Like when he's like, I used it too. Look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, I get burnt people, but I'm a little tan. So sun hitting me isn't the worst thing. But when I'm with my other friends who are maybe more fair skinned than I, it's a different level. Like when I put on sunscreen and for them, it's I know the difference now. Like I'm like, oh, I don't need too much sunscreen today. And they're like lathering it up on them. So I feel for Bobby in this one.
Yep. So Bobby is talking to Joseph about how, you know, I want to head back to Ireland. I feel bad for my dad. You know, I want to check on him. And as they get to the checkpoint for Border Patrol, Joseph's like, oh no, I forgot my passport. It must be back in the hotel, but it's like been in his lap the whole time, which I don't fault him for that because there's been times, granted, I think it happens as you get older where it's like, I thought I lost a pen that was in my hand the whole time or something stupid like that. We now see that Hank and Peggy are in like one of those classes where they learn not to be scammed. And Peggy mentions that she notices that everybody in there is a senior, like at least 70 or 80 years old. In fact, well, she actually makes a comment that everybody's an octogenarian. One woman's like, excuse me, I'm in my 70s. So they start taking the course and the guy wants to teach them how to have healthy digital lives. And Hank's like, no, I don't want to learn anything about a healthy digital lifestyle. I just want to learn how to get my money back. And of course, they're saying there's no way to get your money back. Like, there's just no way to track these guys. So then the guy is like, hey, let me show you this email and you can see what if this is a scam. Now, can you tell me what's wrong with it? And like the old lady is able to figure out what's wrong with it. It's like, oh, it looks weird and stuff. So it was like cryptoking@moby.site. or something like that. That's correct. It looks like a fake email address. And then Hank's just not having any of this. And so the guy's like, well, you know, if you want to learn how to better avoid scams, for just $99, you can buy this course. And Hank's like, oh, okay, cool. Let me do that. It's like, no, that was a test too. See, it even has a picture of a Trojan horse on this. You fell for another scam, which I have to give credit to Hank here. He's like, well, I'm not expecting to get scammed in the scam course. And I'm like, yeah, that would kind of be my thought too. Is like, if they were offering me a course or at-home course, I at a course about not falling for scams, I probably would believe that it is a real thing, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, who expects the instructor to trick them? I mean, like, also, I feel like an image of a Trojan horse, like, on an anti-scam thing, like, isn't it? I feel like that kind of goes hand in hand. Like, you don't want the Trojan horse, so it's marketing that. Yeah, and why would, I feel like there is some kind of software that will help you with not getting scammed. So that means, I don't know. I feel poor Hank. And I love that older lady. And she's, Peggy's like, wow, and you still got your hearing too. Yep. So, no, that was hilarious.
I thought it was funny as well. I will put it in the show notes. So Google actually created a tool called Jigsaw, or I think they use the tool Jigsaw to make it. Anyway, I recommend either for yourself or for your loved ones who may be a bit older and not tech savvy. It actually teaches you how to identify emails that may be phishing. So it's similar to what we saw in the episode. So I'll put that in there because it you know, kind of a PSA, it is a real issue. People do get scammed. Several, I can't even, like, in the hundreds of millions of dollars a year or whatever gets lost to scammers. And so, you know, let's keep our loved ones safe. So we will put that in the show notes and you can share that with them. Bobby returns home. He's like, hey, Dad, I got you a shot glass. Hank was bad at Bobby. And then Bobby's like, why? Like, I had nothing to do with this. But then Hank is saying, like, well, you know, I was worried about you, Bobby, because you don't know how to take care of yourself. And so that's what made me more susceptible for falling for it when I got that email, you know, kind of essentially insinuating that, like, oh, if you were able to take care of yourself better, I would have never fallen for this, which I think Hank's just lashing out because he's upset that he got scammed and he just has anger that he doesn't know how to direct.
That's very true. I love that the shot glass says tequila made me do it. That's pretty funny. Classic tequila shot glass joke. Well, for me at least, I feel like it is harder for my parents to admit when they are wrong about something. So I could totally feel like Hank's thing right there. It's hard to admit. I mean, even as a, like, as myself, as an adult, it's very difficult for me to be like, you know what? I made a mistake. Even though you're in the vicinity of the mistake, it is 100% my fault.
Exactly. Like, Bobby was not at fault here at all. It was 100% on Hank. Realistically, he's mad at himself and he doesn't know how to direct that anger, so he's just directing it at Bobby. Hank wants to learn how to protect himself, and he decides to go to the most paranoid person he knows. He goes to Dale to get support. And then Dale shows how he made AI renderings of everybody, so he makes one of Hank that is saying, like, I hate propane and I think it's the devil's gas or what. I forget exactly what he said, but it was in that vein. Well, and then Hank is like, oh, that's awful and stuff. He's like, I've done that for all of you. And he has another one about Bill. And he just says, you know, that's how they were able to trick you with Bobby. They were able to generate an AI voice for him. And it's funny because if you watch the video, it's kind of like AI now. You could tell something was off because Hank's eyes look very off in that video of what he rendered. But otherwise, like, it still sounds like Hank and looks like Hank. So it's still like with AI, where when you see an AI generated video or something, you could still tell it's AI because there's just, I guess eventually AI will get to a point where it's indistinguishable, but there's just something that's always seems off about it. And that's how you can kind of tell it's AI. But yeah, so Hank's learning from Dale, and Dale talks about all of the stuff that you can do, like, oh, you know, I create fake aliases for everything and don't use my card or whatnot. By the way, this episode is brought to you by privacy.com and Incogmi. Not really, but those are two services you can use, I guess, if you want to delete your footprint online. I don't know. Hey, if you're interested in sponsoring us, reach out. But yeah, so not sponsored yet. Dale's trying to teach Hank how to be safe and whatnot. And as a tech guy, the first thing they do really pissed me off. It shows Dale deleting his browser history, which is not going to do anything to keep you safe online at all. At best, maybe it will help cookies not look at your footprint. But deleting browser history does not delete cookies. That's a completely different step. And even still, when you're in incognito mode or whatever, you're still being tracked by the ISPs and all that stuff. They still know who you are, but that's beside the point. So he's showing them how to do that. They're deleting his social media. Hank is creating some fake social media websites. They record the answering machine, but they don't use Hank's voice. They use Bill's voice to say, oh, you've reached a house where humans live. And so Hank's just going completely crazy. He's putting tape over the credit card numbers so that nobody can use them. And it's very Dale, but it's just funny to see Hank going down the Dale wormhole.
I think this is enough to, like, you know, like there's thresholds of Dale, like levels of Dale that like, people are willing mm-hmm. to go. Hank was like, you know what? This is like the limit. He didn't create a fake identity. So, you know, he hasn't got full Dale yet, but, and again, I think this is another pride thing where it's like, he doesn't want to admit fault. So now it's like overcautiousness with everything. So yes. Again, but this is very reminiscent of, remember the episode where they lost insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this reminds me, was it like the bees or something like that? Or no, Boomhauer was on fire because they were frying they had the turkey fryer. And they were frying things on it. And
yeah.
So this reminded me of that episode where like, because we've seen Hank go to the lengths of like what needs to be done when it needs to like happen. Like they had no insurance, so they went in full lockdown mode.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. And like, ironically, going back to Dale, it took Dale being injured for Hank to change his mind or change his tune, because Dale gets stung by bees, realizing that he's allergic to bees, and he's asking for support. And Bobby won't let Dale in the house because he's a security risk or he's a risk to the house and whatnot. Hank's like, Bobby, Dale needs us and stuff. He's like, no, but what about the house? And then that's kind of when Hank realizes that his behavior was negatively impacting Bobby and making Bobby go insane and kind of worry about things he shouldn't worry about. So it is in the very same vein as that, where Hank just kind of overdoes things. Yeah,
I really love the B storyline to that episode though, with Peggy and Luann being at the like rest stop and them having to try to like break the machine to get candy bars.
Yes. Back at Bobby's apartment, it is dark, like nothing's working. He flips the switch, nothing turns on, and like things are just thrown across the floor. So Bobby just assumes that they've been robbed, and then they see Joseph lying on the floor groaning, and he's like, oh, the power came off, so I ate all the food so that it wouldn't go bad in the refrigerator. And he's like, why did you eat everything in the cupboard too? And so Joseph, I guess, didn't realize that the cupboard doesn't run on electricity and stuff isn't going to go bad immediately if it's not eaten. And then Bobby's like, oh, come on, Joseph, I thought you paid the bill. He's like, I did. Oh, sorry, I didn't hit confirm. And then so he hits confirm to pay it. Look, I took care of it. And then he pauses for a minute. He's like, oh, I thought like the power would come back immediately. And then Bobby gets really mad at Joseph for not being responsible, for screwing things up and stuff. And then Bobby starts to realize like, oh, Joseph is to me what I am to my dad. My dad worries about me because I'm not always being the most responsible person. So he just, it finally clicks with him. And so he starts to decide, okay, I get it. I understand why my dad gets, you know, short with me at times. Bobby mentions to Connie that his dad is apparently becoming gribble nutty. We see that Hank is destroying all of his docs, like throwing them into fire and stuff to make sure that it can never be stolen. All of a sudden, Hank gets a phone call and it's Sylvester Stallone. Or I'm sorry, he says he's Sly Stallone. And he says he's making a sequel to Over the Top. And he wants Hank to be an executive producer. And, you know, he's like, oh, well, yeah, how did you learn about me? He's like, oh, I saw you on the Over the Top message boards. So that's how I learned about you. You know, we just need $10,000 and you could be a co-executive producer. And Hank agrees, and we learned that it's actually Bobby on the other hand trying to test Hank to see if he'll fall for another scam. And so Bobby is clearly upset because he's like, oh dang, my dad fell for another one. And he's like, oh, very good. That'll be great. He's like, yeah, I can't wait to see you. You drive that box van you drove before. He's like, yep, I'm going to do that again. He's like, okay, well, I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to donate. I'm going to donate nothing because you didn't drive a box van in the movie. You drove an 18-wheeler. And so Hank picked up on the fact that it was a scam, and he mentions, he compliments Bogby, actually, which is very nice. And so Connie and Bobby are happy that they did it and it worked out. And then Connie's like, okay, now let's call my dad as Jackie Chan. The episode ends with Bobby setting up a password manager for Hank and explaining that Hank has to use the authenticator app and stuff. And so he's a little upset. He's like, you'll get used to it, though. It's not a big deal. Peggy decides to come up with a code word, which actually is not a bad idea, so that they could use it to verify that they are who they are. And so she's like, oh, we can use kumquat. And, it's like, I'm not saying that word. Or, okay, how about quaint? And then she just goes through a list of words. One thing I picked up on is that she uses the word acquaintanceship, which is the word she uses to win the bobble tournament. So that was kind of funny, a callback. And the episode ends. I do like that they had fake Sylvester Stallone calling Hank and trying to get him. But I also like that Hank is apparently on the message boards for this movie that I bet most people forgot ever existed.
Was Over the Top? No, that was an arm wrestling movie, was it? Is that the one where he's...
Yeah, okay, Over the Top's the arm wrestling movie.
I love when he's like, what's my username? And Bobby's like, Hank Hill? He's like, lucky guess. Is it? I don't think it's that much of a lucky guess, though. Funny, though. I love that Bobby knew that this was going to, give Hank his confidence back. But I also love that Bobby knew, that little detail about his dad, that, he was very active on the over-the-top forums. So I really enjoyed that little nugget. Another one of my favorite parts is where, Connie's like, your mom did a great job, too. And he's like, yeah, she said it took her 3 hours to get to her favorite character herself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds exactly like I'd expect Peggy to say something like, yes, my top inspiration is me. But yeah, I do like that Bobby does have that realization that this is why Hank acts the way he does, because, and granted, Bobby is nowhere as bad as Joseph is. I don't see a scenario where Bobby forgets to confirm on something. So I don't think Bobby's nearly as bad as Joseph. He's still kind of irresponsible, which honestly is not that surprising for someone his age. But it, that moment where he gets it was interesting, where it just finally clicked for him.
I don't blame Joseph for any of this, honestly. It's typical. You're like, oh, it's very frustrating. But if you roommate with a Joseph that you've known your whole life, you know this is the stuff that happens, right? Because they're your friend, you're like, we want a roommate together. But maybe he shouldn't be in charge of the bills. You can collect the money. It's not like Joseph didn't have the money, you know what I mean? It's not like Joseph couldn't pay the bills. He was just bad at paying the bills.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, I think this one's on you, Bobby, but...
Yeah, that's a fair point that...
He's irresponsible. Kind of like how Hank is. I guess this is the aha moment for them both. How Hank is like, Bobby was not able to do these things. Isn't responsible enough to think of these things to be done. So he does it for him. So that's what... Bobby needs to do for Joseph instead of being so hard on him. But I feel like now that I've said it out loud, I feel like everyone's learned that at the end of this episode. It also confuses me. I feel like if Hank was sent to work, if Hank worked in Saudi Arabia, I feel like wouldn't they have a password, some kind of management, protection thing there?
You would be shocked. I still know people who are our age, not even old people or older people, I should say, still manage their passwords in a Word document.
Oh, but I felt like for the company, they would have something, right? Don't you do scam trainings? Every now and then we do a scam training.
Yes and no. I don't recall us having, we do sometimes, I guess, have scam training. What will happen is every once in a while at work, we'll get an email sent to us. It'll be an email that looks official and it'll say, just click this link or download this to try the newest, we've moved to a new piece of software. Click here to download it or whatnot. And then if you click it, it redirects you to a page saying this was a scam. This is how you can protect yourself and you should have reported it as phishing and blah, blah, blah. So. That does happen. It's something we do at work. We don't do password managers at work, we don't use third-party password managers. We have our own internal one that we've built because it's basically the idea of, like, even if it's encrypted, we don't trust leaving a password with someone else. In general, though, like, everybody, you should be using a password manager.
Yeah, I don't know. I love how this episode ended. I just feel like every episode of this new era of King of the Hill is kind of like left me being like, oh, that's just very touching. For me, with this new era of King of the Hill, I really am loving it because I feel like at the end of every episode, it's kind of like this awe moment. Like, oh, I love this because it feels like the family is growing closer together as a unit. I remember being like at the beginning of all this, before we started getting the new King of the Hill, I was very worried about older Bobby, like the time jump and aging everyone up. But I really am loving this because now the family gets to connect on such a different level now that he's an adult. So I'm really like this new season's really been doing it for me so far.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even season 14 was good, except for that first episode. And even, you know, looking back on it, the first episode wasn't terrible. It just, like, it felt a little off virtue of the fact that, you know, they had to catch up on 15 years and kind of explain the 8-year time jump and stuff. So it was very condensed, like something that should have maybe been 3 episodes was in 1 episode. But overall, yeah, season 14 and 15 have been great. It feels like King of the Hill, even though it's a little different because Bobby is a young man versus being a 13-year-old in high school. Joseph and Connie are young adult. Hank is a little older. Peggy's a little older. They're retired. Everybody's a little older. So things have changed. The world around them has changed. So obviously there's some things that are different, but at the core, it still very much feels like King of the Hill.
And it has the soul of King of the Hill, and it's like giving new, you know, like it's evolving, it's keeping its like innerness, but it's giving us evolution. I don't know how to say it. Maybe someone could rephrase it better than that, but it's definitely, it's not like how my fear was with Futurama when Futurama came back. And I know we talked about that a lot at the beginning too, how Futurama wasn't good when it came back. This is definitely like kept what fans really love. It's kind of giving everything to us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the thing Futurama did poorly on its return was that it leaned so hard into all the pop culture stuff that it missed that it just felt cringy. King of the Hill is obviously doing some of that, but King of the Hill has also never truly been about pop culture. There'd be things thrown in every once in a while, like they mentioned BTS in this episode, but it's never really been at the core of the show. The show is more about like a slice of life. It's more about, you know, Hank adapting to the real world or the new world, more so than being about like pop culture moments, talking about crypto mining and Susan Boyle and stuff like that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it is still character focus. Like, none of the references, you could take the references out and it would still be a great story because of these characters and how they interact with each other.
Exactly. 100%. Well, that's all I have on this episode. What about yourself?
Sometimes I feel like a broken record, but it's so true. Another solid episode. Not a solid episode. Another great episode. I've been really enjoying these. I have been rewatching them. Like, these past episodes that we just went through, like the Caesar episode, I've rewatched that like 4 or 5 times already. This one I've rewatched a couple of times, not just for the podcast, because they've become part of my King of the Hill rotations now. Like, they're episodes that I love watching. Mm-hmm. So this has been a great season. I want it to be renewed for like 3 or 4 more. Let's keep it going. As long as we got the juice, let's go.
Yeah, I know for a fact they've been renewed for season 16, 17. My guess is as long as it's still brings viewers and stays in the zeitgeist and stuff, Hulu is going to continue renewing it unless, you know, Mike Judge and then just says, nope, I'm not interested anymore.
I feel like if they're like, we're ready to go on, maybe that is the time to like pack it up and be like, it was a good run. I don't know if I trust another creative team. I don't know who's on this creative team. So if it is kind of like a full new group of people and a couple older like people, then maybe we can keep going. But I do think what's the voice acting crew is kind of done, and like everyone's kind of like, we're kind of, I feel like if Mike Judge leaves the show, that's it, because he's a good like Hank, right?
He's like a few voices. I think he's also Boomhauer. Yeah, and he's the creative mind. Like, he's not the showrunner, obviously, but he is like the creative mind of behind the show, or one of the big creative minds behind the show.
Yeah, I don't see him wanting to continue the show and not voice more. You know what I mean? So I think at that point, it's time to like move on. And I really, my wish and my hope for the end of King of the Hill, this new run, this new era, is to have a finale just as good as the original run. Because for me, that was like the most perfect finale that I've seen a show have. It just wrapped everything up so nicely, and it didn't leave me wanting more. Like, I was like, you know what? This is a great endpoint for all the characters. So I hope we can give that to them again whenever we decide this run is over. But that's not anytime soon. We still got a whole lot of more episodes this season to go through.
Exactly. Well, join us next time as we cover more episodes of The King of the Hill. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.